All righty, I'd like to call the meeting in order. We have a lot of people in here. So I ask everybody to be respectful of those in the committee so we can debate our issues and come up with whatever solutions we may come up with. We have a lot on the agenda. The Board of Elections thing is first, but I am going to take something out of order in honor of the sheriff. It's a late that was just put in, and it's a issue dealing. Maybe, well, you can fill me in on it.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for seeing me so late. Basically, I'm attempting to put in for a grant application, and I need the approval of the legislature. A little background on the grant. It's a comprehensive opioid abuse site-based program that's given by the Department of Justice, and it's got to be in by the 5th of June, hence the reason why we need to expedite just to get the application moved. Basically, the grant itself, the description, it's widespread use of opioids as devastated native communities in response to this epidemic. The support of our nation's first responders provide the needs of victims, support diversion, who come in contact with the justice system as a result of the abuse of illicit prescription opioid drugs. This particular grant fits right in with what we want to do in regards to a response, and this is part of the plan that we put together for the Ulster County Sheriff's Office, and I'm calling it the Ulster County Sheriff's Office Comprehensive Opioid Plan, or also known as UC COP. There's four phases of this. Because of our, and I don't know if you got a copy of the grant passed out. I don't know if you guys got that or not. Jay, did you get a copy of that? Okay.
Yeah, we have a copy, Sheriff.
We're over 100,000 citizens in the county. We have 188, so we can put in for up to 900,000. Those numbers have not been finalized yet, but the purpose of the grant is for a comprehensive opioid plan that can be handled and done locally. This is a direct federal government to county program. And this program is in conjunction with the county executive's office and the opioid task force here in Ulster County and the Department of Health. And it is a four-phase program. The first phase is, and I don't know if, how much time I have, but I'll keep
you
it brief.
You can, if anybody has
the
any
first
questions.
First phase is an education base. We're going to put together an opioid awareness trailer that will simulate a room. A bedroom and what to look for. Most people don't know what to look for. Individuals that are addicted. For example, the room would have, if you look in the closet, there'll be laceless shoes, and they use that for a tourniquet. Or there'll be Q-tips to take and you break one side, they use that to cope with a drug. Or if you go into the bathroom, because we have a mock bathroom, opioids cause constipation, so you'll see milk of magnesia or ammonium AD. Those are telltale signs that a loved one has an issue and that you need to get help. And this program will be in conjunction with the Ryan and Not My Child group that have been putting out their stories of what happened to them directly and how it affects families. So this first phase will identify overdose symptoms, and we will also include Narcan training for those that want to get trained. And then we're also going to use the support networks already in place here in Ulster County, our mental health professionals, our counseling services, and we will provide those individuals with options on how they can deal with this epidemic. We're also going to set up in phase two, where there'll be a due to HIPAA. Just a quick background. Last year we had 166 overdoses and 61 overdose deaths. But I want you to keep in mind that those numbers may not be 100% accurate. In the southern part of the county, individuals go to St. Luke's Hospital or they go to Vassar Hospital. And if you're in the western part of the county, where there's Shandaken, Condenning, and Hardinburg, they go to Margaretville. And of course, through the HIPAA rules, law enforcement don't always know what you know or who overdosed. This program is not going to arrest people. We're going to set up a 1-800 hotline
where family members can call and say, I have someone that overdosed, and we want to get there within 72 hours. This program is basically based on stuff that's worked in other communities, like the Pari Plan up in New England. And so we'll set up a similar team with a mental health professional, plainclothes law enforcement officer, a peer advocate, and a planner. And that planner is the person that's going to know all the options to get that individual into rehab. Once we kick that phase in, we're also going to put in a phase for family members to help them, because family members are suffering as well. Their children are suffering, their loved ones are suffering, and we want to put them in contact with the counseling that they need. And this grant will help offset some of those costs. And again, we need to know within 72 hours of the overdose, and then we're going to try and get this individual to rehab, or into a rehab program. We're going to be partnering up with Catholic Charities and, of course, our local counseling services like Samadhi and the Kingston Restorative Justice Services Family, Woodstock, Kingston Hospital, and Ellenville Hospital. I spoke briefly about the contact team, and that contact team, again, will work in conjunction with those four members that I talked about, the plainclothes police officer, the mental health professional, the peer advocate, and the planner. Will also work in conjunction to establish an enhanced prescription drug monitoring program with HIDA and the DEA to make sure that there aren't doctors that are prescribing opioids on a regular basis in the county. And of course, we're going to coordinate this with our task force for intel purposes only, because we really want people to trust law enforcement in this particular endeavor. If they end up in jail, that would be phase three, and we intend to put in place a medical assisted treatment program in the county jail. We have to look at the liabilities and how we're going to do that. And so we are looking to have a semi-phased program of detox withdrawal, like Vivitrol, and we're also going to put in place, if they're already under treatment, we want them to continue in treatment, and we want to follow them out of the facility. And that planner and that team that was involved in the initial part of it is also going to be a part of this team if they're incarcerated for committing a crime. If they commit a crime, they still have to be liable and to what they did, but we want to tie in with the district attorney's office, the judge, and of course the victim to make sure that they're okay with these individuals getting treatment.
That's fine. All right. I just want to let the attorney who's coming in, there's a shot over there.
Yeah, come here. Sure.
How you doing? Right, we want to make sure that...
Legislator Rodriguez for the question.
Actually, Mr. Chair, I want to just formally move it, because we have not formally moved the resolution.
Second.
And I want to just, number one, just do that. Number two, I want to thank the sheriff for perhaps the most comprehensive explanation of a late resolution that this committee has maybe ever had. But,
my last phase is I'm going to roll in that first chance program to get folks work, because we have to get them, employed. And of course, that's all detailed.
Anybody
in
that is not signed, please sign. I'm sorry to interrupt. There's a sheet going around. Anybody that has not signed, please sign it. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Sheriff. Does anybody have any questions for the Sheriff? Well, it was seconded, and it was motioned and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Having none? Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty, I got into that kind of quickly, and I actually didn't even take attendance here. You want to call for the attendance?
Legislator Donaldson.
What's that?
Here.
Legislator Roberts.
Here.
Legislator Heppner.
Here.
Legislator Ronk.
Here.
Legislator Rodriguez.
Present.
Chairwoman Bartels.
Here.
All right, I also
all
like to... I'd like to entertain a motion to accept the minutes of the last meeting.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
All right.
All right. The papers can be passed around.
Shit.
I have several pens, but I don't think I swear.
I got this one. Correct.
Alrighty, resolution 225, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to sign an agreement with the various school districts to in Ulster County for the use of polling equipment and materials.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Any discussion on the issue? One of the commissioners are here. Maybe you can fill us in on what school districts have not agreed. What one's that?
It's probably easier for the ones that have not agreed. The Ellenville School District, Pine Bush School District,
Walkill,
and Walkill. The rest we are facilitating, and that is tomorrow.
Alrighty.
Walkill went. Walkill went with the Orange County Board of Elections.
Yeah. Okay. Closer to them.
No, I think it was at a point when the Board of Elections had no interest in running the school district elections at all, and they didn't wait around. I think Ellenville bought their own machines.
Timing.
And what happened with Pine Bush?
Matter of timing.
Who were they going with?
I'm imagining Orange County.
They do Orange County as
well. I mean, the vast majority of that district.
All right, any other discussion on the issue? It was moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None. All right, this is a late resolution, 226. Make sure people understand this is a memorializing resolution. The legislature cannot direct the Board of Elections to run any particular sites. It is providing a recommended remedy relation to the selection of poll sites for early, successful early voting implementation in the United States. Ulster County. Go ahead, you have a map that gives you the population centers.
Mr. Chair, for formality's sake, I'll move it.
I'll second.
All right.
And we all have the map on our OneDrives.
All right, we all have the map on OneDrive.
Yes, you have the population density map. Mm-hmm. I have copies, too, if that helps. However, this is a map of
the resolution, anybody want to ask any particular questions? Or?
I don't think that this is something that we should be weighing in on. I think it's something that the state election law requires the Board of Elections commissioners to decide between the two of them. And I think that that's why we appoint them to decide things like this. And I think that, us as a legislature trying to weigh in on an impasse rather than allow them to negotiate with one another on something that state law delegates to them is irresponsible.
Well, I think on the other hand, my problem is I think it's irresponsible if we don't weigh in at a point when we're almost at a deadline.
Yes.
It has to be done by the end of the month. If it's not done by the end of the month, we lose a significant amount of money for setting up polls in other spots. And it seems the choices that seem to be arguing over, my mindset is I believe they should be set up in population centers, such as, New Falls, and then the people from Gardner would naturally be able to come into New Falls because they go there to shop and to see their attorney or their doctor or what have you. Same thing having one in the city of Kingston has the same mindset because people come from the other areas, and so it actually helps them out by being able to vote in those areas. So to me, I think we need to weigh in on it if it's not settled at this point. That's the way I kind of look at it. Go ahead, Rodriguez.
Thank you. First off, Mr. Chair, I am intrigued by what you think Gardnerites do in New Paltz, but that's okay.
He doesn't spend a lot of time down there, so he doesn't.
Visiting lawyers. I'm going to concur with the chair insofar as that, not having a polling site in Kingston where, we want to be able to have access. We want folks to be able to potentially be able to walk, especially if they don't have transportation, to be able to get to a polling site. So it seems as if, and again, I'm going to agree with the minority leader. Yes, we can't tell them what to do. However, as a legislature, we once we brought back memorializing resolutions, there's all sorts of opinions that we are now expressing.
Which was one of the concerns I raised the whole time we were debating.
And if you may, Mr. Minority Leader, let me finish.
I'm sure.
So, but that said, having population centers, like Kingston, like New Paltz, I mean, we can go and have conversations of supporting, you know, more polling sites or shifting some of these things around. But I think that when we start talking about population centers, we want to be able to have the most access possible. And I mm-hmm. think in the case of both Kingston and New Paltz, I think having one in each location, I think benefits the public.
Anybody else before?
Okay.
Go ahead, again.
Thanks. You know, I don't disagree at all with having a polling site in the city of Kingston. I don't think that having a polling site in New Paltz serves the southern end of the county very well, because even if we had one in New Paltz and one in Ellenville, I believe that's one of the things that the Democrat commissioner of the Board of Elections is suggesting, my constituents in the hamlet of Walk Hill have a half-hour drive to either of them. A polling place in Gardner or Plattekill makes a lot more sense for people living in the southern end of the county, particularly the southeastern end of the county. You know, when I was first elected to the county legislature, we had a saying in my town, Ulster County ends at 299. And it was because of things like this, being forgotten about below New Paltz. And to have the southern end of the county serviced by a polling place in New Paltz, I think is disrespectful to my constituents.
Ashley wanted to respond on something.
I just want to touch upon that. One of the sites that Tom and I have agreed upon is the Highland American Legion Hall, which
is also a half hour from my house.
So I'm just throwing it out there.
I understand that. But you will still have your polling sites on Election Day operational. Early voting, the spirit of it is to be during those 9 days where people go about the course of their regular business. Obviously, so you're up in Kingston today, but I'm sure that you either go over to Poughkeepsie via the bridge where a poll site is located. In New Paltz, obviously, there's I would like to see one there because I think a lot of people in your neck of the woods visit either Ellenville or New Paltz or go across to the river during that time frame. You can also always have more sites.
No.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tracy.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything, and Ashley can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think there's anything precluding the commissioners from discussing the polling sites that you've raised. Plattekill is not off the table. Shongham is not off the table. Gardner, in fact, has conflicts because it's not available for mm-hmm. the full course of the time, and that's mm-hmm. evidenced in the back and forth and the emails mm-hmm. between the commissioners. I think that, you know, this resolution, which it is memorializing, is just the legislature urging that at the minimum the four population centers get serviced. Geographic diversity is critically important. The southern end of the county is critically important that it be representative. I would hope that the commissioners would consider Plattekill or Shongham as one of the sites. It's just that's not this resolution. But I think this is perfectly timely, and I think we have to put it in as a late, because if they don't reach an agreement, we're going to lose a tremendous amount of money.
That's not necessarily mm-hmm. accurate.
Roberts?
Yeah, you know, Dave, we're called upon a lot to make
jobs. Yeah.
Excuse me. A lot of times, Dave, we're called upon to make quick, snap decisions, and we often do our job in doing that. I don't think this is a case where we could, five of us here and then the 23 of us, make a quick, snap decision. It's obvious that the Board of Elections Commissioners are at an impasse and they're calling upon us to help them along with that decision. And I don't think in the amount of time that we have to study this issue, we can make that decision. So I'm going to be a no.
Rodriguez?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So as the minority leader and, of course, the deputy chair of this committee knows, I may represent New Paltz, but I'm from Plattekill. As a matter of fact, right where that little 87 sign is down there, probably somewhere in through there, is probably off where Delilah Lane is. But that said, we have copies, don't worry, and I'll lend you my glasses. So you know, look, we all understand that ultimately, yes, I of course would love to have something in the southern end in addition to, of course, our population centers like New Paltz and Kingston, especially because I think the issues of accessibility are paramount. And I think that when we are able to kind of work off of what the commissioner has provided us here, where we're looking at our population centers and making that kind of weighing with that level of support, I think it's incumbent upon us to go and say, look, we want to have as much accessibility. We want to ensure that we're taking care of the vast majority of our voters. And I would actually argue that we want to have more polling sites, not less.
I'm not going to get big because we have too many issues here, and I want to make sure if somebody will let some people talk a little after the members speak. Are you going to add?
I'll hold off unless you, Jonathan, you have some.
Jonathan?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with a lot of what my colleagues have said tonight, and so this is absolutely, you know, relevant and important to this committee. You know, we as a legislature are responsible for approving the appointment of commissioners. We oversee budgetary actions with the Board of Elections right here in this committee and as a legislature as a whole. And again, we represent the shared taxpayers and we represent the shared voters. So I think it would be irresponsible for us not to express concern over the current impasse we're at. I think, you know, I've read all the correspondence I've been going through, and even when you look at both population and even if the Republican commissioner, some of the numbers he's provided in terms of voting populace, but also when you look at infrastructure, walkability, so sites like Esopus versus Kingston, you know, sites where you have Highland and Gardner versus the town of New Paltz, to me it's just illogical. I think it's very that simple. And that's why I don't think it should be that hard of a solution to find when approaching this issue, especially when obviously there are voters and taxpayers alike that are equally concerned, and not just that, but also out of respect to some of the local municipalities. And so that's why I support this resolution, and I thank Chairman Donaldson for bringing it forward.
Thanks. I don't believe that the word walkability occurs anywhere in the early voting law that was passed by the state or in the regulations that followed. You know, I think that one thing that should be taken into account in particular is parking, accessibility for parking, especially since in a county this geographic size of Rhode Island, I mean, you know, this isn't a polling place for New Paltz and a polling place for Kingston and a polling place, you know, we can't have a polling place in every town. So you're going to have Ulster County residents having to travel to these locations. You know, I mean, my town has, 14,600 people or so spread out among, two hamlets and an area in between two hamlets. And in any of the polling locations that Commissioner Dittus has brought forward, you know, my constituents are driving a half hour, and to your quip, Legislator Donaldson, about my constituents only staying in Walk Hill, we live really far south in the county, to the point where my district, my legislative district, borders Orange County on three sides. So quite often, my constituents are doing their attorney work and shopping and whatnot in Orange County, because it's much closer. When I grew up going to the gallery at Crystal Run in Middletown, not going to the Hudson Valley Mall. You know, I grew up going to Newburgh instead of going to New Paltz. You know, that's our way of life down there. We're not going to put a polling place in Newburgh for early voting for Ulster County residents. So, you know, unless some of my constituents work in Poughkeepsie, they're not frequently crossing the Mid-Hudson Bridge. They're usually crossing the Newburgh Beacon Bridge if they're going to cross the bridge. Which we're not putting one in Newburgh, we're not putting one in Marlborough, we're not putting one in Plattekill. And these concerns, it's a district-by-district concern, which is why I disagree with doing this resolution in the first place. Because the way for us to, you know, as Majority Leader Heppner said, the way for us to communicate the needs of our constituents to the Board of Elections Commissioners is to communicate it directly to the Board of Elections Commissioners, not to make one statement with all 23 of us, because we've got 23 legislative districts with distinct needs and distinct populations and distinct geography. That's why I think, I mean, you know, I understand the political statement being made with this resolution, but to me, it's not the way to use our memorializing resolution process.
Well, I'll disagree with you on that. When we take a look at the population centers, the purpose of...
They're not population centers, it's population density.
It's still population density, population centers. People understand that. If, for instance, five legislative districts could be taken care of just by the city of Kingston,
these people that come into that area. New Paltz could probably cover three or four or more legislative districts just by having one in New Paltz. In fact, the one in Kingston is right under that was proposed is the Stride building, which has adequate parking, and that has a, you know, you can actually safely keep the machines there. They don't need to worry about it. The college is more than happy to have us there, and it's right on the bus route. So people actually, if somebody wanted to vote there, they'd want to come from Port Ewan, they could actually come in and vote right there. If you take a look at the one in New Paltz, they're proposing the college. It's quite, the parking is adequate. It's also got safe, and they also want us to be there. So you're looking at things, and it's not costing a dime to do that. And these, as long as we get these things in on time before the deadline, the state will pay for the extra polling spots. And that's the whole idea is, and I have a problem when you're, and what you're talking about is you want to put one in your spot. So fine. If
I don't. Do that, I didn't. I actually didn't raise that.
Well, then you're pointing out something because in one rural area, and you also understand, as you know, you said you would go to Newburgh, you go to Crystal Run, you go to these different places rather than the area here, which is understandable. Rural people are used to traveling. People that live in the city of Kingston don't travel outside of Kingston that much. You got to realize they do if they work or things like that. It's a different mindset. People that live rurally are used to driving because that's what they want. They actually prefer to be away from that area. But they need to go into those areas to buy their food, to see their lawyer, to see their doctor, whatever the case may be. So, I mean, I believe that we should be taking a stand saying they should be in the more populated, in more densely populated areas.
Again, I think it's important to reiterate that taking a stand as to the densely populated areas doesn't preclude the inclusion of...
Exactly.
Of, for example, the southern end of the district, which I agree with the minority leader that it should be seriously considered placing a site in Plattekill or Shongum. That should be under serious consideration. My concern is, you know, we received just an hour ago, and I played phone tag with Commissioner Turco all day Friday, never got to speak to him directly, but we received an email today that says he's leaving on vacation Friday for 2 weeks and that he will email his recommendations to the state board and that whatever sites he and the Democratic commissioner have in common, he assumes the state board will fund and the rest will essentially lose the money. He says we may only be allocated for the two sites. I just find that to be irresponsible, and that's in part why we have this resolution saying, please come to an agreement and please consider the population density. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with geographic diversity, and I support the minority leader in asking for a look at the southern end of the county. I represent two districts in Shongum, and I'm in Gardner, and again, Gardner, there's a conflict. I don't see how the commissioners could pick all these different sites with preclusions. Have a and this site we're only open on Monday from 2 to 3, and then on Tuesday this site's open from 6 to 5. I if I were a commissioner, I'd be looking for uniformity across all polling sites in terms of the hours, because this is very new, and we want to communicate a very clear message. That's what I understand from speaking to Commissioner Dittus. And I would expect the same from Commissioner Turco. I've been unable to speak to him, but the fact that he's leaving Friday is of serious concern. Time is absolutely of the essence. There needs to be an agreement.
Yeah, and just to continue what the chairwoman was saying, no one is here talking about disagreement that the people of Ulster, Southern Ulster, should have access to early voting whatsoever. I don't think there's any issue in that. I think the issue is where things seem illogical again. And again, with, the parking, I mean, we've been all on this committee privy to the emails that have been going back and forth between the commissioners. And one thing that's for certain is that the locations that have been highlighted, there's clear evidence that parking, because there's a lot to require, handicap parking, number of spots, but then there's also, internet access. There's, the ability to have secure storage for overnight for the machines. So there's a lot to go in play, and one thing that I think for certain is that this stuff, it has been vetted, mm-hmm. and so I don't think the concern is with, we're not concerned about, you know, New Paltz because of parking, we're concerned because we want the most people to have the most access to the pools.
That's right.
And I think you have to think, you know, much more, you know, not just, you know, it's a balance. We're trying to find balance here where there's also logic. And in the correspondence we've gotten between the two commissioners, there has been no real logistical reason why we would exclude these very obviously more visited and more populous areas, whereas we're going to then require people to walk across the Ward Street Bridge. I don't know when the last time you drove across the Ward Street Bridge, but if I lived in a lot of those parts of Kingston where that's going to be the most accessible, I don't want to walk across the Ward Street Bridge and then up the road at the side there along the Rainbow Diner. That's still what's there. I mean, it's not logical.
Thanks. First off, I disagree about the parking at SUNY New Paltz, having been a commuting student there. Parking at SUNY New Paltz for people who are commuting there during the day is incredibly difficult. And I don't think that it's improved a ton since I was there. But aside from that, I think that my point isn't that I want a location in Plattekill or I want one in Shongham. I actually don't think Shongham makes a lot of sense because it is the lowest portion of the county. I think if you're looking regionally, you would go in the middle of all the areas, which would be either Plattekill or Gardner, which is easily accessible from all of the towns in southern Ulster County. But on the other hand, I don't think that we need to intervene in a disagreement between the Board of Elections Commissioners. I mean, if I had the power, I'd lock them both in a room and say, come to an agreement, work together. That's the whole point of a bipartisan Board of Elections. But drawing a hard line on one spot or drawing a hard line on another spot, saying I won't talk about anything until we deal with this, or I won't talk about anything until we deal with that, it's not a good way to negotiate on either side. I'm not saying that either side's right or either side's wrong, but for us to be intervening in a dispute between the commissioners is a bad precedent to set. It's a bad precedent to set because what happens the next time they have a disagreement? The way these things are supposed to work at the boards of elections is the commissioners are supposed to be adult about it, get in a room and make compromise and work together. And that's not happening here. And so the legislature is now saying, well, we're gonna tell you where we want, you know, poll sites to be because you guys can't agree. I mean, to me, it's just a really bad precedent.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, I want the minority leader to know that I hear what you're saying, but I think there are two things that make this a bit more extraordinary in so far as that, number one, we're talking about voting and accessibility, right? And voting is without a doubt one of without protecting it and without ensuring that we're maximizing it, we are in fact doing a disservice to democracy, right? But the second part becomes there's also a financial component. And so I think in this regard, look, if you want, we can put forward a resolution to lock the two commissioners in until they agree. I don't know if that's legal or not.
I don't think we can do that.
But we can try. But that said, you know, it becomes a matter in which we have to ensure that we're maximizing in every instance people being able to go and vote. And I share your concerns. Obviously, look, growing up in Plattekill, yeah, we went to Newburgh. We went to Poughkeepsie, mm-hmm. right? But we also went to New Paltz. So it's not as if somehow it's so alien or far away.
I mean, we did.
Hey, well, no, and I understand that. But I'm just saying, you know, even from my parents' house, going to New Paltz is about 14 minutes and about 45 seconds, depending on how fast you drive. But that said, it becomes a matter in which clearly we have two extraordinary circumstances combining, which is why this resolution was brought forward.
Yeah, and again, there is a sense of urgency because, as Chairwoman Bartels pointed out, we've seen the exchanges that have been going back, so we know very clearly how the negotiations have gone. But also, when we receive an email this afternoon stating that, you know, and I understand, you know, everyone has you know, lives outside of, you know, work and
vacation.
The political arena. But also, this is a very serious thing because we're talking about voting rights, we're talking about taxpayer dollars and resources, and when we get an email, it just says, oh, you know, where I'm at Friday, that's where it's going to be.
That's a gross underestimation of that. Of that.
Right, please, no,
I mean, it says that it was going to be sent. Those were the recommendations that were going to be sent to the state. That's exactly what I read in the email. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're trying. And if it takes more public pressure from either this body, because we represent these communities, these voters, these taxpayers, if it takes public pressure to meet mm-hmm. what's now an even quicker deadline than we expected, as of today's information, then I'm all for it, because it's that important.
Dave, thank you. It appears that with Commissioner Turco going on vacation Friday, we're going to lose one day. Remember, Monday is a holiday. If I'm reading my phone right. So we're only going to lose one day. The results of this vote, is it going to matter at all what the state does? It's going to matter what the Board of Elections Commissioners say and do. And I urge them again to get back to the drawing board and find a solution we can all agree upon.
I'd like to comment on this.
This is the first time New York is doing early voting, and it's important to make sure we get it right mm-hmm. as much as possible. And after seeing some of the emails going back and forth, in fact, Commissioner Turco made a comment that people don't want to vote in the college. So they would rather be voting someplace else. And, I mean, these types of things, that how do you reason with it when his answer was no, put it in Gardner, and the place that he wants to put it in Gardner is not at consistency of voting time, so they're going to have the post where you can vote on Monday from 2 to 4, and then you'll have to come back from 6 to 8. I mean, that's absurd. As you know, you want voting to be as easy as possible. If I didn't know better, I would think they were purposely trying to...
I was waiting for it.
I feel like they're purposely trying to not get people to vote. I mean, otherwise, why would you want to put them in a rural area when the population density areas, and then not have it there? It makes no sense. It's illogical. It's just illogical. So,
I'd like to point out the other criteria that I factored into my site selections, because population density is obviously listed in the law, but so is proximity to sites as they relate to one another, and also as they relate to being next to public transportation routes. So that's why I had this map created, just to showcase where those routes are and how frequent they are. And I think it's pretty evident that the sites that you speak about in your resolution are reflected in this population, or in this public transportation situation that we have in the county. I also factored in the cost to the board. Early voting is going to come at an expense because of the shift to the newer technology. All the sites that I've selected have so that they will not charge us for use. It's a 9-day use this year, but then next year we have 3 election events that will also have 9 days attached to them. That's quite a lot of election days, and it's also quite a lot of space for certain places like the Rosendale Community Center, which would have a loss of revenue. That was one of Commissioner Turco's recommendations. The Gardner Town Hall, we've already discussed about their time constraints, but I have not seen yet that they have promised to give us the site at no cost. The security concerns, because this technology is new, those poll books that we'll be using as well as the printers will be on site. So having the security, both in-person security, as we will have at SUNY New Paltz if we choose to use it, and also at the campus in Kingston, that's an additional benefit, which I think gives us peace of mind and having secure rooms, so being able to lock all of this new technology away, because there will be live ballots on a nightly basis that are contained within these early voting centers. Other things I considered was the ability for this technology to work, which is the use of the Wi-Fi and the internet, which all of the sites I've selected have given us that reassurance. The parking, that was my first question to New Paltz, because I've been there many, many times. It's one of our polling sites for the regular elections. They have promised, and this is reflected today, and we got a letter from the college president, that there will be dedicated parking for early voting right near the Student Union building, and also across the street for those who are more able-bodied and would like to walk if it is that busy. Again, early voting is 60 hours of voting. It's not relegated to that one day. So I think that on the weekends there will be pockets where people are really using it, but during the week it won't be as busy as it is on our regular election days. We won't know till we actually do it, but that's what we've seen in other states that already have early voting. Other issues, the size of the room. We have to have a good size. It's a smaller footprint than our regular elections, but we have to have a polling booth for every 4,200 voters in this sort of election cycle that we're in now, and a poll booth for 3,600 voters in our bigger elections like we're going into next year. The wait time is a factor. We have to have no wait time that exceeds 30 minutes. If we do, we have to launch new materials no later than the next day. We also have to keep in mind commuter traffic patterns, so I also pulled data on the retail value of each township, and it should come as no surprise that those number one places where those towns have a commerce centers, City of Kingston, Town of Ulster, New Paltz, Saugerties, and Lloyd being our top five. I have sites in all five of those locations. So I just wanted to give a little background on how I came to my site selection. We have agreed on three sites, the Russell Broad Center in the town of Ulster, the Woodstock Community Center, and I spoke about the Highland site earlier. It's just those other four locations, Kingston, the villages of Allenville, New Paltz, and Saugerties, that I think the spirit of the law speaks to those factors, and those are our towns that meet those criteria the best.
All right, I will allow a couple people from the audience, but we do have a lot to cover.
Yeah, I know.
Can you state your name for everyone?
Josh Honick from New Paltz. Just a couple of factors. In trying to get as many voting places as you can, if New Paltz were chosen, New Paltz has more voters than Gardner and Rosendale, the two towns that that Commissioner Turco wants to use. So if you use that, we have those voters there, and it frees up one more space for another polling place somewhere else in the county. Number two, because New Paltz, the college itself, besides the number of voters we have in New Paltz, we would be serving a lot more people from around the county. The college has over 1,700 employees. A few of them live in the village, but a town, but a lot of them live around Ulster County. Gardner, half of their school district is in New Paltz, so those people are coming into New Paltz to drop the kids at school, go to school activities, and then they do the shopping because we have the supermarkets. People are coming, and even the surrounding towns, it's a hub. So people who work, because these machines are going to produce a ballot for any town that you're from Ulster County. So that means a lot of people work in New Paltz and will be able to, at lunchtime or something, find the time to get over there. So it's going to service a lot more people than just the raw numbers are going to show you to start in terms of voters eligible to vote in New Paltz, Rosendale, and Gardner. And there's more, but I don't want to take too much time. Go ahead.
Did you, ma'am?
I just believe that we should have as many poll sites as we can, because otherwise that's going to oppress the people. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to be willing to come out to vote.
Uh-huh.
Now, Ashley, what did you say about Ellenville?
Oh, I've identified a site in the village of Ellenville, the village hall, at no cost to the board. It also has...
The village hall, so the poll site would change.
Just for early voting, your regular poll sites will be open on election day.
Okay.
But for the early voting period, I've identified a site in the village.
I just think it's another way of oppressing the voters.
Allenville is also an area where we've seen longer wait times.
Yes.
We also see lines in the City of Kingston and in New Paltz, so having an early voting center in those three places will make Election Day voting easier for people because hopefully more people take advantage of the early voting period.
All right, I'll take a few more from the audience. And
Gladys Figueroa. Ashley, what locations are you and Turco actually in agreement with?
The three sites that we agree on are the Russell Bratt Senior Center in the town of Ulster. We agree on the Woodstock Community Center and the Highland American Legion Hall.
And there are four that, how many are there? There are four missing that you haven't agreed to?
There's four that we disagree on.
Thank you.
Hi, Kevin Freeman, Saugerties. I'd just like to mention, you know, in this, the 2018 cycle, I did a lot of work for a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization, just registering voters in well, CD19, but I spent a lot of time on the SUNY New Paltz campus. And we went from, and Ashley, maybe you can correct me, but I believe we went from 2014, an off year, having less than 200 people vote at that site to close to 1,000 people in 2018. And that big, you know, that leap was very encouraging as far as participation. And to lose that site, to have that undercut from us, I think is a dangerous thing.
Can I make a point of information real quick?
One more, and then I'll get back to the members. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah.
Might as well walk.
I want to know.
You state your name first.
Oh, Otia Lee.
Otia.
Speaking on behalf of Bill McKenna for Woodstock. In further conversation with the town supervisor regarding the early voting, in rethinking, they're not very happy with the fact that the local resources will be strained, in that Woodstock will still have many visitors when early voting begins. Normally, they have visitors right up until December. And already, the population is 6,000 normally before the snowbirds leave. So that accommodating, and we don't know what your guesstimate is for the turnout, you have to bear in mind that the Woodstock Community Center is a very busy place. People will be displaced for the number of days from their normal activities, and also a big strain in the main artery leading into the town, going to the Woodstock Community Center as the site for voting. Mill Hill Road is a two-lane road, and it's also still under some construction. And at the height of many of the events in Woodstock normally on a weekend would be very congested. And we would have to provide traffic patrol direction, extra police officers on hand, EMT people available for that, and we don't even know how many extra people would be voting. Do you have guesstimates?
Otia, I think it's more, I don't think it's going to be people coming out in masses. It's more of a trickle voting.
Well, yes, even as trickle, if you add 20 cars at, let's just say, rush hour, well, the congestion is there.
Right.
It's bumper to bumper in a small village. Okay, now on site at the community center, that's limited parking and mostly for disabled. And then the municipal parking lot is being occupied from some of the utility trucks. So we're cutting back on some of the local resources already. So to displace everyone for the 9 days, in addition to a certain square footage of the community center being off limits to the public because the machines will have to be safely secured.
I think that's, I think the Woodstock one was one that they agreed on, correct?
We agreed upon Woodstock because of its proximity to those Catskill mountain towns.
Right.
Where there isn't a good site for early voting because they don't have the internet connectivity that we need for the electronic poll box.
Right.
It's also some place that a lot of people know of. It's a poll site that we use now, so we know that it's compliant for accessibility and other considerations.
And you want to say something?
Yeah, I just want to make sure everyone understands that there's not going to, that this plan that's being put together is not going to close any polling spots. The college is still going to be open on Election Day. Every polling place in Ulster County that is normally open on Election Day will continue to be open on Election Day. I think that there's a misunderstanding in some areas on that. No polling sites are going to be closed. This is just about the additional early voting sites.
That's how we know that.
I have two people over here. Go ahead.
My name is Jane Schamberg. I'm from New Paltz. Legislator Runk, I live across the street from SUNY.
Mm-hmm.
You may not have been to the campus for a while, since you graduated a while ago, I bet.
Wild guess in how many years?
I'm not good at math. But I will say to you, there are at least two new parking lots right there. I see them from my bedroom.
Okay.
There is even a trailway bus depot right in one of those parking lots that stops several times a day.
Yep.
So one could conceivably, you know, come back from the city, go vote, and do whatever they wanted to do on a worst-case basis. I don't think that this early voting site is aimed at students, and I was there with your county chair during that last election. This is for everyone in New Paltz and anyone passing through. 4 minutes from the park and ride at exit 18 to the SUNY New Paltz campus. That's how long it takes me, because I live across the street.
Yep.
So I just hope you would bear that in mind.
Yeah, I just wanted a clarification. So for the early voting, how many total sites in Ulster County are we going for early voting?
We had agreed upon 7 sites.
So your hope is to get 7. So the goal between you and Commissioner Turco is to try to get agreement on 7 sites.
Correct.
That's your goal. Okay. And I just wanted to weigh in on some opinions on the conversation. I definitely agree that I'm hoping you all do intervene. I'm on the Woodstock Town Board as well as a member of the Woodstock Democratic Committee. Both positions are actually representing the people, and everybody here represents the people, and I believe representing the people is the right thing to do in a memorializing resolution for a topic so critical. And I do also think that the parking, the accessibility, all the things that you're thinking about all make sense. I also think I agree with you when you said we really want to get it right the first time out. But I think there's going to be learning, and I think if we can pick 7 sites, and even if and learn, maybe you shift one because you learn. But I wouldn't want to give up some of the 7. If the state is helping us fund 7, I'd love to see us go for the 7, and hopefully get some compromise so that we can get the 7 and gather information. Do people complain about New Paltz, or don't they complain about New Paltz? Do they complain about Woodstock, or don't they complain about Woodstock? Woodstock's on a bus route too. So I like the accessibility factor of things, and I like, Woodstock, the roads could get clogged. We're a little worried. Mill Hill Road, it's not the best pedestrian road. It's a state road, and I've got to tell you, we could use some more crosswalks, and the state refused because they don't want to have they don't want the traffic on their road to be slowed down. So it's not really perfect putting more cars on Mill Hill Road. Okay. But I do think we ought to have the state fund as much as we can get them to fund by getting some agreements and alter in future years if needed, because we're going to learn this time around. We ought to go for it.
The state will fund 2 or 7 if we put the 7 in a timely way, up to 7. Supervisor Baden, you said you wanted to come on in, you wanted to speak? Oh, you had your hand up before?
I was in the Trails Committee and just popping my head in.
Okay.
Should I say my name, Dave, or don't you keep Laura Ruth?
I got it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, just for clarification, I don't think 7 is the ceiling of what the state would fund. I don't know if there is a ceiling.
There is not a ceiling for our county. We could have as many as we see as we think necessary.
If we can afford.
Okay.
Well, that's
we can afford in terms of the staffing, because the funding allocations. There's two pools of money. One is just solely for equipment, and one has more flexibility. But it amounts to about to $30,000 for each site that we designate.
And
we'll cover a lot of the technology costs.
Yeah.
The biggest cost will be staffing the polls for those 60 hours.
Mm-hmm. And then I just wanted to just make a comment, potentially for Ashley to clarify or just to put out there. It's in reading the email chain, and also in speaking to other legislators, it's
I understand that you agree on those three sites, but my understanding, at least from the email, is that in part you agree at least on Woodstock. It's in from Commissioner Turco's perspective, it's in lieu of Saugerties. I'm not sure, and it's hard not having Commissioner Turco here, because I'm not sure if Saugerties were included, right, if Commissioner Turco would still agree with Woodstock, because he has made the claim that Woodstock and Ulster are serving Saugerties. So if Saugerties were included, then he may say no to those sites. And that's the problem with not being able to come to an agreement and not having a commissioner here.
So in Commissioner Turco's email, and I wanted to make this point because I believe Jonathan skewed this statement in Commissioner Turco's email to us a little bit, in that, you know, he's not saying, I'm leaving on Friday, I'm sending my poll sites, and, you know, and we're done with it. What he said was he's eager to sit back down with the Democrat commissioner and work out their disagreements. But I mean that has to happen this week, and that's what's supposed to happen at the Board of Elections. The commissioners are supposed to sit down and work out their disagreements.
We will be sitting down. Yeah. Don't distort
right, but,
that.
Well,
we let's, will,
well, but, I'm not distorting anything, Commissioner Dittus. What I'm doing is I'm responding.
Let her speak. You can speak after her.
So you're going to allow other people to, you know, besmirch legislators in your meeting,
They're
Dave?
Not doing that.
I don't agree with that.
She's making a comment. She's making a comment. Go ahead.
I apologize. I didn't mean to offend you, but we will be sitting down this week. Wednesday is our usual commissioners' meeting. This is on the agenda, and we'll be discussing this and hopefully coming to a final solution. But I did think it was important for us to have this meeting when we were invited to be here to prepare. I did do a lot of preparation work. I believe in the spirit of early voting. I'm glad that it was passed. However, I think that my counterpart and I have a fundamental difference as to how we are approaching this legislation. I think that that's apparent. So we will be sitting down, and I think it's a good thing that you're weighing in on this, because there is funding on the line.
Thank you. I was not talking about your willingness or not willingness to sit down. I was speaking about Legislator Hefner's comment that Commissioner Turco was going to be sending his recommendations to the state board, and that was that. That's not within
that
the email.
If we don't come to an agreement, we'll be sending separate plans.
If you don't come to an agreement, so maybe
right,
it behooves
you know,
to
like
sit
to
back
wrap
down
this
tomorrow.
Up. I think everything that had to be said has been said, and we're going to move on.
I just want to clarify Minority Leader Rock's point. Once again, I preface what I said with an understanding that people have travel plans. I clearly stated that. I think you're making this something that it's not. I was clearly citing what was sent in an email to the legislature.
Did you cite the fact that, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, may I? Did you cite the fact that he expressed a willingness to sit down again and try to come to an agreement?
I was saying in the context of the fact that there's a time sensitivity and there's an urgency, but if you want to politicize it, it's fine.
All right.
I
want
to politicize it.
Anybody?
He used the word voter.
All right, come on.
Dave, I just want to thank Commissioner Dittus for coming today. You helped us out a lot. I'm glad you're getting your point across. I want to thank everybody in your audience for coming. We do appreciate it. And I think we heard from everybody. If you want to call the question.
Can I just ask one question? What happens if you don't come to an agreement on Wednesday? I mean, what's the next step?
The next step would be the three that they chose would be the only ones, unless they come up with something else.
I don't believe that.
If we do not come to an agreement on our early voting sites beyond the two that we're mandated to have, the state will only set aside funding for those two sites, effectively leaving potentially thousands of dollars on the table.
We would have to pay for the sites ourselves. We could have 50 of them if we want, but we'll be paying approximately, what, 30 grand a site probably? Whereas the state is willing to pay... I don't know how many they're willing to pay up to, which still costs us money, but not, I mean, if we're getting a $30,000 from the state for each of the sites, it certainly, you know, cushions the blow a little bit, you know, to the taxpayers. So that's one of our concerns, is with that has to be done before the end of the month, or else the state at this point looks like they will not fund anything beyond two sites. Yes.
Mr. Chairman Thompson, and I apologize, I didn't have anything to say until you just brought that point up. I'd just like to say that, you know, I attended many a legislature meeting recently where the whole thing about the special election was debated about the cost of it. and that went on and on, and should we have it because of the cost. Here is a case where the state is willing to pay for the cost of these special elections. I don't see how the county can't do as many sites as they will pay for.
Right.
It's the way to get to the majority of the voters. It shouldn't be a decision just based on location.
Right.
You know, it should be a lot of other factors. Getting many people to vote early is this is an opportunity that many other states take advantage of. I think we really need.
Right. Well, the other aspect is we also, in other words, our own staffing can only do so much also. So, I mean, if we can put 50 sites in, but we don't have the staffing to deal with that. So what they're trying to do is, you know, sort of a balancing act on what we can do with the number of sites. So they've chosen 7 at this point, but it doesn't mean that it ends at 7. Rodriguez, and then
I'm done.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, you know, thank you, Mr. Supervisor. I mean, you know, I think many of us have stated that our first goal is accessibility, is density, is actually being able to reach the largest number of voters to be able to get folks, you know, in voting. But in addition, though, I think something that the chair of the committee has also brought up and others have brought up is the issue also of financing, right? We don't want to lose these dollars. But so through the chair to the commissioner, you know, of the sites that you've contacted, how many of them, and I guess we're really asked to talk about the ones that are sort of in conflict or that are being disputed, you know, what's the cost to the county for being able to use those sites?
The rental cost and the sites that I've identified, there is no cost. They've
okay.
been...
Do we have a sense, and again, I may be asking you something you may not be fully aware of,
sure.
but do we actually have a sense of there being a cost for the other sites?
I am unaware of the Russell Broad Center that will come at a
Bless
cost.
Hold on.
I did not make that contact.
One more time.
Sorry.
So
of the 4 sites that I've identified outside of what we've agreed upon, I have secured those at no cost.
Okay.
Those the other 3 sites, Russell Broad, Woodstock, and Highland Firehouse, I am unaware.
Rosendale.
Rosendale would come at a cost.
So Rosendale would come at a cost. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It would be $100 a day.
Okay.
That's what I've been told.
We'll have to remember that when, next time we look at taking over town costs.
Yeah, thanks.
If I may say one more thing. I would definitely worry if, you know, if we had 7, I wouldn't worry so much about Woodstock being 1 of 7. I would worry if we were only funded for 2. Ulster, Woodstock, and Highland both seem scary to me to try to put all of the voters of Ulster coming
right.
to any one of those 3 sites. And if we only pick 2 out of 3 and only fund it for 2 out of 3, it would be scary to me. I don't think any of those sites are really appropriate. I hope that Commissioner Turco agrees with Kingston. To me, that would be a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
Saugerties, I think, was one of your ideas. It's density. There's still 2 more sites that could be negotiated. So,
Yeah. Hi, Aaron Levine, town of Saugerties. So it's my understanding, obviously, there's 62 counties in New York State. Commissioner Dittus, it's my understanding that only what, 3 counties don't have a plan submitted to the state.
Yeah, correct.
So that's subtracting 5 counties from the under the jurisdiction of the city of New York. That would be 57 remaining counties. So 54 counties 53 or 54 counties have submitted their plans. Is that correct?
They have. Some are considering expanding, but they have already submitted.
Okay.
So they might add more, but.
So
we're only 1 of 3 that hasn't submitted anything.
Okay, so my question would be, in terms of have either yourself or Commissioner Turco had any discussions with any other county election commissioners in either neighboring counties or anywhere else throughout the state to see in terms of what kind of plan that they've come to an agreement on in terms of population density, ease of access to public transportation, things like that. In terms of looking at their plans, have you spoken to them in terms of what they've agreed upon, both the Democratic and Republican commissioners?
Yes. So Dutchess County has agreed to 5 sites, 3 along the river and 2 that are more in interior. They have also agreed to use electronic poll books for all of their elections. So they're making plans to start training their inspectors, demoing the technology. They've set their plan.
So my only question would be, in terms of my only comment on this, would be, You know, it seems that as if the vast majority of the state has been able to come to an agreement on this. You know, it seems like this is something that we should be able to get done. You know, this shouldn't be as difficult as, like, the Israeli-Palestinian, you know, peace process. You know, we really should be able to get this done. And I think that, you know, I want to make sure that we're not going to be leaving money on the table that the state is offering us for this technology that's going to be allowing people to, you know, have an ease of access to voting. So I would urge, you know, the legislature to adopt this, please.
All right, the gentleman over here, you've got your hand up for a while now. I'm going to let him hear you, and then one more after that. Go ahead.
Eli Duncan Gilmore, New Pulse. One issue that I think was hit on already, but just kind of vaguely, was walking to the polls. And I know even if walkability isn't used in the state's language on the topic, I think it's clear that early voting exists to maximize the number of people that get to the polls. Mm-hmm. And walking is a real issue. So I'll bring up a couple cases. If you put a polling location in a rural site, you enhance the ability of two, maybe three people to walk to the polls, who are more likely to have cars because they need them for the basic necessities of life. In doing so, in removing a polling site from an urban location like Kingston or New Paltz, in Kingston's case, you could remove potentially hundreds of people who don't have an automobile, who can't get to a rural area. You would remove their capacity to do early voting, which would hinder the whole purpose of early voting in the first place. In New Paltz, you have a lot of college students, some of whom are registering to vote in New Paltz because they plan on staying and contributing to New Paltz as a town. College students are extremely unlikely to have a car. So if you put this polling location maybe 5 minutes closer by car to the rural community, you completely cut off and eliminate the capacity of people walking the polls to use early voting. These are the kind of people who are more likely, the people who vote early are the people who need to enhance their access to the polls. People like college students with a busy schedule. If you decrease their ability to get to the poll, regardless of intention, the word voter suppression, I don't think is something that should be laughed at, because that's the functional effect of what
that's
we're
what
doing.
That's what it is. Voter suppression.
I think there's having a knowledge of a great knowledge of the actual situation heading up to this, the fact that the Republican commissioner refuses to agree to several polling locations, at which point they would simply be eliminated if an agreement is not made, regardless of intention. The actions, the simple cause to somebody like me who's not aware of what's really going on at the deeper level, it seems almost as if he's simply vetoing a bunch of polling locations, which would just decrease massively the capacity of tons of people to be able to vote. I don't know if that's what his intent is, but it certainly would be the effect of his actions. Mm-hmm. It seems like there is one option and one circumstance that if we go down a certain road, you're clearly seeing a vast reduction in the amount of enabling provided by early voting for people to vote. So it seems clear that we need to follow through with what early voting exists for, that being enabling people to get to the polls easier and in greater numbers.
Sure. Mark Ryder, Deputy County Executive.
Last man standing.
One clarification and one comment. The clarification is there was a special election on April 30th, so that is one reason that our Board of Elections has taken time. It's not that the commissioners have been in disagreement the whole time. I just want the public to be aware of that. They were dealing with an election. Second, the charter calls on, this is one department that the charter has the legislature appoint the department heads or commissioners, and where the commissioners serve at the pleasure of the legislature. That's so right. Whether it's this resolution, I do think it's proper for the legislature to weigh in some way. Yes.
Alrighty, now I'd like to, I think everybody spoke. Anybody else last minute? Another one? Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment. A couple of considerations first, two suggestions. One is access to voting is crucial to democracy. Two, access to voting can be controlled.
And your name is?
Bill Clare. Okay. Access to voting can be controlled along party lines. It would be extremely unfortunate, I think, if this resolution were voted out very close to party lines, mm-hmm. which is a natural thing because people represent their district and they want to represent the people there. I think for it to make sense, there are two things that can happen. One is that the resolution, if it's passed, it should emphasize fairness. And it should be in terms of something that's measurable. And I would suggest something that has to do with access time for maybe 90% of the people there. How long does it take you to get there? How long are you going to have to wait? What's the parking and so forth? But if you come up with a recommendation, there should be some justification for it, and it should be in terms of access time.
Yeah, that's basically what was done.
The other suggestion is that, and then maybe people can vote for that unanimously. The other suggestion is if there is concern that there are not enough resources or money or whatever to support this, then you should take a very strong stand and say, yeah, we should be doing more to make it accessible to people. I don't know whether that's true or not.
Well, the purpose of this is looking at the places with the most densely populated areas of the county, and that's basically what it does. It once had four different areas, but having said that, they already had some agreements on other areas, such as Highland. All right, I'd like to entertain a motion to vote on this, I guess.
It's been moved and seconded already.
It's been moved
Mr.
and
Chairman.
Seconded.
Call the question.
So I guess I'll call the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
The vote was indeed advanced 4-2. All right, resolution 281, establishing a policy to prohibit the use of public funds to place the likeness or name of elected officials on all promotional and informational signage on county-owned property.
I don't want to move it yet.
For formality's sake, I'll move it.
I'll second it. Then for formality's sake, we're supposed to have a subcommittee on this. It hasn't met yet. I move we postpone it until said subcommittee meets.
I'll second that, David.
Mr. Chair, before we just take the vote, who's on the subcommittee? Is it you three?
Legislator Donaldson is chairing the subcommittee.
It's
me and Dave.
It's just the two of you.
Oh, wait. And
if
Hefner
necessary.
I wasn't sure. I never even got it. It was if I could make it with my schedule, but we never actually got it.
I just want to make sure we actually had clarification.
I believe that Dave is the chair of this one.
So Dave, Ken, and Jonathan, is that?
I said if the date worked, just because I called all the subcommittees
on. I'd rather just vote on and move on. To be honest with you, I'd rather vote on and move on. We've discussed it long enough.
I'll withdraw my second.
But we had a subcommittee to talk about it. If there's issues with it, it's not. We can't just move forward on it.
Sure, we could.
Yeah. I don't want to fly in the ointment, but at caucus, if you recall, Dave, I also asked questions about the issue of it. The definition of informational signage, because it says promotional or informational signage. I feel like if you can get together and answer those questions, maybe we can. I'll concede the fact of it being a separate, if you recall in caucus, the fact of it being a separate resolution versus amending our existing policy, that's fine, but I am concerned about the fact that it says informational signage. What's the difference? Well, informational signage is...
The county executive's name can't be on the board out in the hallway because it's informational signage. That's
and
what
that's
she's saying.
And that's not actually the exec's office. Like, it can't be on the ground floor.
It can't even be out in the sixth floor.
I mean, it says his or her office. Like, the office, right outside the office is fine.
Right.
But it can't be on a directory.
It could be on a directory. You could have
informational signage. I mean,
again, I'm not trying to be a stickler, but it's informational signage is informational signage. But I am. Yeah, I know.
God forbid we legislators deal with details.
I feel like it's easily addressed, but I have been asking
all right,
it for
well,
7 months.
We'll postpone it then if that's what you want to do.
I was going to say, I mean, it's just, if there was supposed to be a subcommittee, I didn't even know that.
Well,
right,
we had one, but...
I'll put my motion back in a second.
I need to be able to get
this
done.
Is this a hokey pokey right now? Is that, you're in, you're out.
All right,
you put your left, you put your left. All right, on the motion to postpone. Although, actually, I want to stress, Mr. Chair, before we go and take the vote on the motion to postpone, that the subcommittee does meet and that we get this thing done and over with, because we have a series of different laws, you know, that date back from 2018, and we got to get them done. So I'm just imploring you. I don't need a resolution to do that.
I'm not the chairman of
anything. I'm imploring all of you. I meant it as a generic you, but you are directly across me. I apologize.
But it's only May.
On that note, Mr. Chair, you have a motion to postpone.
All those in favor?
It's going to be June.
Opposed?
November.
All right, adopting a resolution 329, adopting a proposed local law 13, establishing an Ulster County Electrical Licensing Board, provided for the qualification, examination, license, and regulation of electricians in Ulster County.
I'm going to move it.
I'll move it. I'll second it for discussion.
If I may, Mr. Chair.
All right, for discussion, I guess we got something back from the executive's office. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. So.
Does he want to fill us in?
I mean, I can, if you've read the memo, it just says that we had the budget department look at it, believe that it's basically essentially budget neutral, but have a couple of requests, and that is, while maybe budget neutral because we're collecting fees from the contractors, we didn't budget a position for that this year, and we request that the effective date move to January 1st, 2020, so that we can put it in next year's budget and then collect the fees throughout the year. And the position is budgeted for. And also that position would lie in the Department of Public Works, because like where it may make sense that it goes with safety or weights and measures, those are 2 to 3 person departments. And adding that seems to make less sense than adding it to a larger department where they could cross train like the Department of Public Works.
They could squeeze in a little extra work there.
So, Mr. Chair, if I may. Okay. So, you know, first off, you know, I will move to amend that the effective date be January 1, 2020, right? I believe that was in your memo, and that the responsible department is the Department of Public Works.
Is that one amendment, or is that two amendments?
It's one amendment, because obviously, or if you want it to be two.
One.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
I think I've never adopted this amendment. To change the fees from, I don't know, August, October, like that.
Which was last year. Oh, we never officially put in. If I will then add into that, in any of the sections where you already see the amendments in bold or with the parts where they are stricken out, I guess we will just kind of just sort of just do that as one omnibus amendment. And I want to thank the deputy county executive and the county executive for your support. It's appreciated, and I appreciate you getting back to us so that way we can move this forward. So,
already made the amendments. Do I hear a second on those amendments?
I'll second those amendments.
All right.
Can I comment on the amendment?
Yep.
I'd like to ask the deputy executive chair that would it be more. I was down in Rockland County, and the Department of Health oversees their licensing board. Would that be something that might work better?
I mean, they already have an administrative hearing process set up there. That's the only thing that...
Yeah. I mean, think about it. I mean, both of it, you know, that's fine. With me, I would be okay with that if it was there as opposed to Public Works.
Why don't we do the public works? So we can. I mean, it's June. If we pass this law, we can always. In other words, you take a look at that.
I'll take a look at it. See
what makes the most sense logistically for you.
Okay.
You know, because it's you're the people that have to enforce it. So
I want to see part. If health down there had any different role than our department.
Consumer affairs. I think
right. We don't have that here.
I'll go ahead.
I mean, we do at the DA's office, but I don't.
Right. Okay.
Thank you. You know, we last had a public hearing on this in last August. Is that last July, maybe?
Yeah, it should be.
July 10th, 2018.
So I mean, we're nearly a year out from the public hearing on this. You know, with the effective date being changed until January 1st, I don't know that I'm comfortable voting to adopt it without going back to the public. You know, there's fee changes, there's other changes to it as well. I think that we should set a new public hearing, personally. And I advised the sponsor of that earlier. He told me he was going to consider it.
The sponsor? Are you considering? You look like you're very considerate. You're being very considerate today.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know I'm such a stickler for the hand-raising thing. So, you know, a couple of things. You know, any of the changes that are being proposed here are pretty ministerial, including we're actually lowering the amounts in terms of any instance where there's a fee. Changing the effective date actually sort of makes sense considering that when it was written. And then the last part, of course, is the which department. I mean, that was explicitly why we wanted the administration to weigh in on this. So that way, I'm not going to go and presuppose or micromanage which department the administration wants to use to kind of go and deliver this program. That's why, you know, we sort of left it sort of open-ended in that regard to allow them to be able to sort of figure out how to go and administer this, because that's not our role. Our role, of course, is to kind of create the policy, in this case, you know, the law. You know, I'm not throwing barbs or anything like that. You told me right before the meeting.
I explained it. This has been on for so long. I thought we were setting a public hearing.
I was going to say it's like we public hearinged it a long time ago. But that said, we have not substantially changed it. You know, from that point.
I also like public hearing as a verb.
I realize I did that, and I don't care.
I loved it.
That's fine. So you know, it's a thing where. It's not as if we have not had ample time to read over the legislation. It's been a year. You know, it has not substantially changed. If anything, the changes that have been made make it, you know, again, we're lowering fees. We are, you know, we've now, to this point, just changing the effective date, which makes sense considering the timeline that we're at. And the only thing that we've added at this point or changed is really which department it goes to.
Go ahead.
Being that we have until January 1st, 2020, what's the objection to going back to the public? For input.
I think at this point, you know, we went to the public. I think we had one person. It's a thing where I think we've been debating it, or rather we've had it in front of us. I remember there have been completely different legislators on this committee, you know, who you know, we went through and actually provided additional information with regards to what's actually happening regionally. I think we've taken so long. I think Dutchess County is now considering doing this again.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I heard. So,
seriously considering it, or Joel Tyner considering it?
No, like, seriously considering it. So, you know, so it's a thing where, you know, we now find ourselves really sort of behind the eight ball, where our neighboring counties all have this, whether it's Orange, whether it's Sullivan, whether it's Green. And I'm not trying to say just because all those other counties have it, that Ulster County has to have it. But I think there is clearly, I think at this point, you know, this we debated it to death, or we've at least looked at it, you know, for a while. I would like to move forward.
All right.
Yes.
Can I just ask a question, a point of information question? Since the fee, the $500 fee, was reduced to $225, did you consider or examine all the rest of the fees?
Yeah, we did. Do you have? You get to go find it. I mean,
No, we had it.
All right, good. All right. Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Since it appears that we're going to move forward on it tonight, I mean, one of my biggest concerns with this law is that every other county has one. And we're not waiving the fee for, you know, companies that are licensed electricians in another jurisdiction. So, it once again, it's more of a money grab by the government to these businesses that are likely doing business in many counties. I know Legislator... Roberts, not in the electrical field, but in, you know, general contracting,
has to be licensed in several counties.
Rockland and Putnam.
You know, and
do you have to pay in each one?
Yes. I feel like it's going to make a company from Orange County, which might provide a better price and be fully licensed in Orange County, it might make them think twice before doing a job in Ulster County, because in order to do that job, they're going to have an upfront business cost of getting a, you know, of getting a yearly license that they're going to have to pay for over and over and over again. And, you know, we may be depriving our constituents of, you know, skilled workers that are skilled businesses that already do business in Orange County with a license, or already do business in Greene County with a license, or Rockland County, or Sullivan County, and put them in a box. You know, there may be somebody in Shangum who could, like, you know, when I upgraded the electric on my house, I used ADCO Electric out of Montgomery. I was probably one of a few clients they had in Ulster County that year. I might not have been able, and the price was significantly lower than some competitors I looked at in Ulster County. I think that without reciprocity that covers the fee, I can't support it. I could support it if we had the reciprocity clause, you know, say that anybody who can produce a license in another county with a comparable law not have to pay the fee.
But it's $225. It's $225. It's not $2,250. It's $225. And if they're doing any kind of business in Ulster County, I think they'd be able to afford that, wouldn't you?
Can I respond to that real quick?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, as the son of small business owners, I've managed their small businesses both here and in Orange County. You know, $225 is a lot of money to a small business in Ulster County. So I don't want to hear the amount minimized. $225 is a lot of money when you have all of the other costs and taxes and fees and regulations that these businesses have to comply with.
And you do know what electricians make an hour and such, right? You do know that, right? Go ahead.
More if this law passes.
I have two questions. Do any counties in this region have this policy where they are waiving?
I'm looking at oranges, and there's nothing about it.
Then it's my
deal. They don't waive the fees.
But
no.
Even if they do it within the county, like for instance, City of Kingston, they'd be have that.
And then further, I mean, I'm not 100% on this. It's more of an open-ended question, and maybe Mark can chime in through the chair. Any type of waiving or that type of that would require, you know, essentially an intermunicipal agreement with said county. Essentially, would it? Would that be more of the charge of the executive's office?
I don't know.
Are we doing a favor to our constituents if we're waiving fees for other counties and then they're not waiving it for our workers?
No.
So
oh,
I mean,
no.
unless there's a two-way or three-way or four-way agreement on this, I don't know what would the point be.
I just want to be clear. It would be for Ulster County, you know, companies that are already licensed in another county as well.
Okay.
So, you know, my point is if they're already paying license fees in three other counties, why are we going to make them pay an additional license fee to work in Ulster County? To me, I just think that, you know, that part of it, I understand the goal. I don't necessarily agree with the goal because, you know, every job that's done by a professional has to be inspected by a member of the Board of Fire Underwriters before a CO is given by a town building department. So a lot of the public safety concerns that arise with this, I think, are handled by the fire underwriters. What we have here is, you know, a lot of electrical fires. Most of the electrical fires happen when Joe homeowner decides to buy a roll of Romex and put it in their wall, or improperly splices a wire in a junction box, which this isn't going to cover because Joe homeowner's not going to have to get a license to be able to do the work. But, you know, my point is, at that point, it becomes a money grab by the government. It's one more fee that, and again, Legislator Donaldson doesn't think $250 is a lot of money to a local business, but
$225.
right, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I just want to thank the minority leader because actually quite candidly, I was actually under this entire time. Maybe you just clarified it more now. I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
But I was actually under the same assumption as the majority leader in that you were trying to say...
out-of-county businesses?
Yeah.
Okay. No.
Okay. I mean, I want to hold off on that and come back to it in 5 seconds.
Yep.
So, you know, again, Mr. Chair, as you highlighted, we're reducing down to 225 for the initial license. As the minority leader I know knows, in the renewal phase, you'll notice that it drops down, you know, considerably depending upon the status and size mm-hmm. of said business. So it's not as if somehow you're paying 225 every single year.
I understand.
It drops down.
But there's still a fee every
So if I may, at this time, I still want to move forward. That said, I am, upon reflection and hearing, again, for the first time, and again, I'll fault myself, although I may not have been alone in this, that I thought you were talking about every single, meaning if you had a Sullivan County, if you were Sullivan County based and yet you had a Sullivan County license, what I was hearing was that you were trying to say that oh, well, then they should be waived in without paying a fee. And I'm like, no, why? Like, no other county does that, right? No other county does that. Because I don't even know how many Ulster County businesses that actually have licenses elsewhere. I have to actually kind of go and probably...
I mean, right.
It's probably very few.
No, I very much doubt that. I mean,
as electrical? I mean, like,
yeah,
I mean...
Contracted businesses in general.
Well, that's contracted businesses in general,
but I'm saying contracting plumbers, electricians,
sure.
General contractors, oil, gas, you know, oil and gas tank, mm-hmm. you know, contractors... you know, they have a wide range, even a small company.
I mean, I am willing between now and the implementation date to at least talk with you about this, because, again, this is the first time that I'm actually hearing it, and I'm going to apologize for my, although I may not have been alone.
I may not have been clear the 7 other times we talked about it.
No, I know, I mean, I'm not alone in this. I mean, like, you know, it appears we may have had, as Cool Hand Luke once said, a failure to communicate somehow,
yeah.
But I'm willing to at least examine that.
Okay, let's...
Well, one other thing that you might want to examine as well is that the renewal, when it gets to the renewals, there's no distinction made between Ulster County and the rest of New York State. So maybe you want to give Ulster County residents a little more of a break than the rest of New York State, since you create that separate class in the license fee.
But you still, at the same time, you're still going to be doing the, you know, the county's still going to have to do the work. They're
mm-hmm.
going to have to file the papers. They're going to have to do the exact same thing they do with anyone else.
Okay.
So, I mean, my mindset is, you know, I mean, I can understand if they wanted to put together a three-county license, and, you know, if somebody comes up with an agreement of that sort, that would sort of be nice to do, I guess, but...
Yeah. I feel like we hadn't even talked about that.
I mean, the idea here is that, in other words... I know he thinks that's a lot of money, $225, but if somebody's doing that type of business and they're going to be doing any kind of business about that, they're going to want to get the license anyway. And that also, you know, cuts some people out that doing it more on the side.
Can I just say something that just I find interesting? I don't know if I'm assuming Ulster County doesn't do this. I looked up Orange County's application, you know, and it has the form and it has the fees laid out, and then it requires that the applicant... sign a certificate of child support certification. Has anybody ever heard? We don't do that, do we?
Rockland does.
Yeah, so it basically said you have to sign saying, acknowledging that you're not under a court or administrative order to pay child support, or explaining your obligation and checking off that you are in the process of bringing it up to date.
I would think... So that document for Ulster County is probably not created, and that would be up to the board of whatever board.
Well, it also might
creating.
Be. I'm just. I it's the first time I've seen it, but it also might be something. I mean, that as a policymaking body, not just necessarily for electricians, but if it's something that this would obviously take a deeper dive, but it might be something that we should have a conversation about. If it's something that's happening elsewhere, there's probably good reason just for making sure that I know we. Go to great lengths to make sure that people are paying their due.
It might be state law too, Tracy. I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. On the issue,
on the amendment,
on the amendments first. Yes, but I thought I didn't do that, did I?
Mm-hmm.
You seconded the amendment. All those in favor of the amendments?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Nope. Having said that,
on the resolution as amended.
On the resolution as amended.
I'll vote aye to send it to the floor. You know,
no.
I don't know how I'll vote tomorrow. I appreciate your willingness to talk about these changes.
I'm not. And by the way, you know, that was not meant as a. I understand you may be a no tomorrow, but at least we had the conversation simply because, again, I've been under the wrong assumption, same as other people. So.
Yeah.
All right, so on the amendment, all those in favor?
On the resolution.
On the resolution, rather? I'm sorry.
Aye.
And those opposed? None.
Great. Thank you. All right.
Oh, my God, we got this off the agenda.
You voted yes, didn't you?
Yeah.
All right, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 23, the Ulster County Ethics Law.
Mr. Chairman, I believe everybody received a document with the chairwoman's comments, and counsel and I had looked them over, made some suggestions and whatnot. She's going to send it in a track changes version that we can actually track changes in a, I think, a Word version or whatever you have.
That's my crazy computer. I just have to convert.
Yeah. So at this time, you know, so she and I can meet and discuss them. I don't think we're very far apart, and I think that we could be there at the next meeting with something we can vote on. So I'll make a motion we postpone it.
Okay, no problem. Second. And then what is the time frame? Doesn't this have to go before the voters?
I don't believe it does. Council Ragucci and I have both individually reached out to Mark Longtoe, the county attorney, and pretty much said, you know, because we tend to find these things out at the last minute after we've passed it that there is a thought that we need a referendum. So we've asked ahead of time this time, are you going to say we need a referendum? We don't believe that we do because there's no curtailment of authorities in the law. I've not received word from him that we do need a referendum, so I'm going on the assumption that we don't since we spoke to him about it several months ago.
Okay, so you two are meeting and you're going to come back with a final...
Yes, but can we in the immediate, I didn't want to do it without yours and Nick's go ahead, but can you circulate the document that Nick marked up to all members
it's in our,
of this committee?
It's in the OneDrive already.
It's in the OneDrive already.
Yes.
Okay, so what I would ask is...
Yeah,
no, that's great. But can
they're
I
good, they're good comments.
If,
you can read them.
If the members of the committee would have a look at Nick's comments so that if you have concerns, you can provide them to Ken or me before we come back next week. I mean, it was still open to discuss, but I'm by no means trying to slow this up. I want to see this move.
Yeah, and I think it will, and it's going to be the best it can be.
Yeah, I think so too. Okay. So,
just on the issue of the referendum, we had reached out to the county attorney. We discussed it in the council's meeting. If there is any ability to get a definitive answer back, you know, by the next cycle, we would know what their position is going to be. So, I mean, I can certainly reach out.
When did
again.
You reach out to them?
We discussed it
3 months ago.
It's got to be like we did it like multiple times for each of us. So probably 2 months ago on my part at a council's meeting. And it's been adjourned. In fairness to Mark, I haven't followed up with him.
Chris reached out.
But I think maybe Chris did, and I know Ken did independently. So like they're put it this way, they're aware of our question. It's on the table.
Again, I see no curtailment. I don't think that the chairwoman sees any curtailment either.
I don't want anyone to think I'm trying to slow it up. I was hoping we'd be moving it tonight.
We had a motion to postpone.
Yep.
And it was seconded by?
I'll second it.
Already, all those in favor of the postponement?
Aye.
Opposed?
Another set of amendments.
The changes to the code and the... They were circulated.
Gotcha.
I just don't know if you got
I don't think I got those.
No? No. I'll forward them.
Yeah, just to be consistent with the local law.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's sections of the chart and the code that changed.
This amendment, amending the rules of order to modify the resolution deadline.
I'll move it for discussion.
I'll second.
All right. And I think at this point they were looking at postponing this until the new county executive comes in and is able to weigh in on what their, you know, the process.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
All right. Any discussion on that? Having none, call for the vote for the postponement. All right. Anybody against? Nope. Are we good? Setting a public hearing on local law number 15 of 2018.
Can you make this amendment or ask someone to, for the clerk, if you don't mind?
Oh.
And this is local law for adopting a county charter
term
local
limits.
Local law number 10 to create term limits. There you go.
I'll move it for discussion.
I'll second.
Mr. Chairman, at this time, I'd like to make one amendment to the resolution changing the time of the public hearing to 7:05. Is that?
7:00.
Oh, 7 o'clock.
Okay.
What day is
it? I'll second it. Anybody?
June 18th. It's at session.
And it's at 7 o'clock.
Yep.
So on the proposed amendment,
did I second
anyone against?
I did.
Right, on the resolution.
Are the changes already incorporated? Do we need to vote on that as an amendment?
I think we should. Yeah. Even if we didn't, we should.
I'd like to make the amendment as it's written in the law.
As it's in bold.
Yes.
As written.
And I'll second
the
that.
Amendment on that.
I'll give it to you. It's too long to read all of it.
It's already in here.
Yeah.
It's actually in our package.
I know. I'm talking to the media.
Oh.
Here.
Just take this.
No.
I should do a lot.
I'm not going to read it to you either.
Okay. I just want to make sure it's the one you submitted.
I would read it to you.
I haven't seen it. I'm assuming it's whatever you submitted.
It's the Dutchess County language.
Right, but the one that David
circulated. Not exactly, but yeah.
All right.
It's all Dutchess County.
Yep.
All right, on the issue.
On the amendment, you mean?
We got to do that other amendment.
Well, amendments.
The amendment as written in bold that you offered and seconded it.
Yes, I seconded it.
All right, the vote on the amendment?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay. All right.
Okay, so.
All right, on the resolution.
Aye.
We're going no discussion. We're just going to go.
Oh, unless anybody wants discussion.
We've already passed it once.
I
think the horse is sufficiently.
Yeah, like I was going to say, let's not go back down that road again. Let's just.
No problem. I have no problem. Okay. All right, on the resolution.
Unless you
want to
talk about how this is voter suppression.
Oh God.
And those opposed, aye.
Would it be better as a referendum? Is that what you're going to say? Are you going to say, Ken? No.
I think it would have been better as a referendum, but I don't get to decide all things, so.
All right. Let's just move on. Let us move on.
All righty. Appointing members to the Periodic Compensation Review Board. Diane Eaton and Lou Klein.
Uh-oh. Good choices.
Lou Klein.
Good old Lou.
I would vote for Lou Klein for almost anything.
He runs a good meeting.
He knows a Democrat, right?
I do.
He's a good guy.
He's old school.
Oh.
I move it.
I second.
But you wouldn't vote for him if it was his 13th year coming in now.
Oh.
All right.
I think if he had 13 years on the Periodic Compensation Review Committee, he should have his head examined.
Yeah. Probably true.
That's true.
Probably true.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Having none.
Just in old business, Mr. Chairman, may I just give a little update on our...
Well, we have the campaign finance reform stuff.
They're in old business.
We're not going to be dealing with them.
Well, that's what I was just going to give a small update if Legislator Heppner will allow me and add things if you think that I haven't. I think that we're making good progress. What?
My chopped liver?
And Legislator Rodriguez, I'm sorry. I believe we were the co-facilitators. I don't know.
You are.
That was a contentious meeting.
We've been meeting frequently.
I think that there's been some pretty good progress. We've got a goal. We meet every 2 weeks on a Thursday. We've got a goal of having a finished product by the end of June for introduction, for the July meeting for a public hearing of a single document. And we've had, some participation from outside groups, CSEA, Ulster People, the League Women Voters.
Yeah, League is
sort of And... Again, I think that we're having good discussions. I think we're making good changes, and really incorporating the best parts of both laws into it. Even if I may vote against it in the end, it's making the best law for the people of the county.
I'm going to defer to the majority leader if he has anything you want to add next.
I agree. I agree with it.
Because the only thing I just want to just add to what the minority leader just said.
I like God, you say yeah, I agree.
The only thing I want to just add is that we wanted to thankfully or mercifully. Both local laws, sort of share the same parent. So there were pieces that were just duplicative and was easy enough to kind
of
go through.
We still
obviously have some outstanding issues. We're working through that. But before anything else, I just want to thank, one of our clerks, Jay, for honestly really bailing us out and helping us to be able to sort of help focus us in on the areas where there were differences in the laws, and being able to then, it helped us facilitate our discussion.
So, absolutely. So, as usual,
thank you.
Figure it out.
I think we do that pretty often with you, Jay. Don't worry, Jay will take care of it.
Well, anyway, thank you.
All righty, and I think...
At this point, I move we adjourn. Oh, wait.
Can I just make one small request? When you do decide on the one document, if the county attorney's office...
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
We've already worked in that.
Is Jen going to any of these meetings?
She hasn't been to one, but she's welcome to come.
You're lucky.
Okay.
You're very lucky.
And
oh, my God.
We've made it in agreement when we went through the process that before any type of introduction, so we want the executive's office... be able to have full review of it.
Okay.
And can you circulate to the full?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well,
draft.
Well, no, and that's kind of just basically we it's not soup yet in terms of the co-chairs have finally sort of we finally are getting close to actually having a real actual draft, and we haven't even had that at our meetings, right? We've actually been literally working off of both documents. Now we're finally at the stage where we're actually closer to actually having an actual document.
What we've done is, and I think Legislator Heppner was really instrumental in facilitating it in this manner, is that we went through both documents, and there's we had a list of differences between the documents. Mm-hmm. And we look through the documents for the differences, and where we could find agreement, we agreed. Mm-hmm. So the first time through, it was all the places, we put some of the things aside for later discussion, things like the limits and whatnot, and the amount of, mm-hmm. campaign donations.
We battled a little bit first before.
But again, we got through everything that we agree on, and now we're going to go back through and address the things where there was disagreement.
Yeah,
because I know I sent you comments, my comments were written so long ago off one of those drafts, so, I can
update. I don't think, can interfere much.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was going to say,
we were much more in the... Yeah. We were kind of attacking big picture things.
Comments come next.
From reviewing, reviewing yours, it seemed they were much more in terms of a lot of definition stuff.
Okay.
And stuff like that, so...
Yeah, and I have to look through my notes. I couldn't find, because I have some big picture concerns, which is why I'll come to one of those
meetings.
Yeah,
well, that's what we agreed to last time.
The financial, the big ones are the financial...
But that's why needed to get to a document.
Yeah.
Because, for example, we weren't even able to kind of get to we're actually planning on really addressing your first round of comments at our next meeting. So mm-hmm. if you actually then do have additional comments...
Yeah.
Send it to us as soon as you can, because that way we can get it all in.
The one just for a quick thing on the resolution on the likenesses, banning the likenesses and the
The subcommittee.
The subcommittee. Are you available next week?
Next week?
Yeah, next week. In other words, we meet on the 21st. Are you available the 22nd or 23rd?
That's this week.
That's this week.
Tomorrow.
That's this week.
No,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, this week. Are you available? Yeah, I've been thinking like
I'm not. Wait. What's Thursday?
If you do these, you're noticing these subcommittees, right?
Yes.
When you have three of you meeting, it's really
yes.
kind of
we notice them.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We're not running into a soil and water issue.
Thank you.
Ooh. Wednesday and Thursday are not good for you. Are they good for you?
Which day?
Wednesday and Thursday.
This week?
Yeah, Wednesday or Thursday.
No.
Okay.
Go fish.
Friday?
No.
Go fish. Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm looking through. I've got several calendars here, so I'm just trying to look through them all.
I'm not going to be available for. I'm leaving the 28th.
I also
Florida.
Agree with you.
No, but I'm going
just,
to Oregon.
They're just doing their own thing. They're just doing their own thing. It's fine.
I only do Florida when it's hot, when it's cold out.
Ken made a motion.
You know, Mr. Chair, there was a motion on the floor to adjourn, so maybe we should adjourn the official meeting.
Well, we wanted to talk about the other thing there, see if they wanted to meet.
Maybe
so
we can adjourn the official meeting, and then you guys can.
Okay, so I'd be adjourned. All those in favor?
All right.
All right.
All right. All right. All right. You're now